Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining me. Just a couple of things I'll update you on that are happening here, and then I'll open it up to your questions. First off, yesterday the Senate Ag Committee held an investigative hearing on the MF Global bankruptcy, which was the eighth largest bankruptcy in U.S. history. And as you probably know, the federal officials and the bankruptcy trustee have been unable to locate up to $1.2 billion of customer funds that were moved out of what should have been secure accounts. Now, we have heard from a few South Dakotans who've been directly impacted by the MF Global meltdown. Representatives of MF Global yesterday provided very little explanation as to where these missing customer funds are located. When I asked if any laws were broken in association with the missing money, the CEO, the CFO, and the COO, the three top executives at MF Global, were unable to assure me at the hearing yesterday that no laws were broken. Later in the hearing, the head of the CME Group, which is the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Terry Duffy, told committee members that Governor Corzine may have known about a loan to one of the firm's affiliates that used customer funds in segregated accounts as collateral. These are very troubling circumstances. They have resulted in thousands of farmers, ranchers, grain elevators, livestock producers who depend upon futures markets not to speculate but to counter risk created by today's volatile markets. So you had a lot of producers from across the Midwest who are learning through the aftershocks of the MF Global meltdown that money they thought was safely held in brokerage accounts had just disappeared. The Department of Justice, Commodities Future Trading Commission, the FBI continue their investigations of MF Global to find those missing funds, and I support strong punishment of anyone who's broken laws and jeopardizes the security of these futures markets. Futures markets provide a critical economic safety net tool for nearly all sectors of the agricultural economy. In fact, at yesterday's hearing, I asked a farmer and a grain elevator manager which would have the greatest impact on the future of agriculture, the new farm bill or a more restrictive use of futures markets. And they very clearly told me that loss of or limited use of futures markets would have a greater impact on their agricultural operations than would the next farm bill, which I thought was pretty stunning. In terms of what's happening in the Senate right now, this morning the Senate voted on both Republican and Democrat versions of a balanced budget amendment. I was a co-sponsor of the Republican balanced budget amendment. I believe it is a necessary step. I've said that for a long time in getting spending under control, getting something enshrined in our Constitution that forces our government, the federal level, to balance its budget like so many states does is just something that is long overdue. The balanced budget amendment that I co-sponsored, that Republicans put forward, requires Congress to pass a balanced budget with spending capped at 18% of GDP. And that is a number that is comparable to what we take in terms of revenues. The years in which we balance the budget in the last 40 years, and there have only been five times when that's happened, spending was in that around that 18% area. Unfortunately, it did not pass the Senate. The Democrat alternative also failed to get the votes that are necessary to move forward, and so we will live to fight another day on that issue. The House yesterday passed an extension of the payroll tax that included provisions to expedite the Keystone XL pipeline project, to extend the Medicare doc fix and unemployment insurance, and also would require a 67-vote threshold in the Senate to extend the payroll tax reduction again. So in other words, next year this wouldn't be just come an automatic thing where we would do this again, because as I've expressed in the past, I am very concerned about the precedent we create of taking what is a dedicated tax, a payroll tax designed to pay Social Security benefits, and taking away the revenues that would otherwise be coming in to pay out those benefits, and at some point putting in jeopardy the funds that were needed to pay a lot of Social Security benefits to a lot of seniors across South Dakota and across this country. So anyway, that debate continues. We'll see what happens and whether or not the Senate gets an opportunity to vote on the House proposal, or whether we end up creating some negotiation that will lead to hopefully some compromise. But there's a lot of work to do between now and the Christmas holiday. The big spending bill, which is coming through as well, has been basically negotiated, crafted by both Republicans and Democrats in Congress. For some unknown reason, now the Democrats are refusing to sign the conference report that they worked on and helped complete over the weekend. So there's a lot of political maneuvering and shenanigans being played right now. But with only 3 days left before federal funding runs out for 9 of the 12, I shouldn't say 12 federal agencies, but 9 of the 12 appropriation bills, I hope that my Democrat colleagues will stop playing games with this spending measure and get it enacted into law. Finally, as many of you know, yesterday I was elected by my Republican colleagues to become the Senate Republican Conference chairman. It is a position that opened up after Senator Alexander of Tennessee decided to step down from his post. I'm grateful for the support of my fellow senators and giving me an opportunity to serve in this position, and look forward to working with them to communicate to the American people the priorities and goals of getting us back on a path to fiscal discipline and job creation in this country. So with that, I'll shut up and try and answer any questions you all have.